Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome to Next Level Church. Thank you for that greeting back. I appreciate that. So good to see you guys. And today we are kicking off a new series. But before we get into that, I want to invite all of you to check out YouVersion. It's a chance for you to interact a little bit more with what you're about to experience. And there's a place to take some notes in there. There's a free poll that you can take. There's some other online things as well. The steps to get to the events page is up there on the screen. Would love for you guys to participate with that. And I just want to take a second just to open us in prayer and just ask God to speak to our hearts. And I don't know what's going on with your week. I don't know what it was like. I don't know if things in our culture are weighing on you. I don't know if you've got personal things that are weighing on you. But today we just want God to speak to our hearts in a personal way. And so if you would just bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray with me. God, we just come before you. And God, without a doubt, there are many that are hurting today. So we just ask that you would wrap your arms around our injured souls. We ask, God, that you would just speak louder than the other voices in our life. We ask that you would speak to our hearts in a personal way. And God, I just ask that you would give us the courage to obey you, to follow you, to listen to you, and do whatever you tell us to do. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you guys don't watch the news, and you're not on social media as much as I am, and so you may not be as aware of the events that are going on in our culture today, and it's important that we're all on the exact same page before we dive into this topic today. And I don't know if you had a chance to check out social media, but for me, I'm on social media a lot, and there were some things that just dominated my news feed. One of the top things was Pokemon Go. I don't know if that's been on your mind this week, but it's been on a lot of people's minds. And I start off with Pokemon Go, one, just to make us laugh a little bit, because we're going to talk about a potentially tense subject today. But I also wanted to include this little bit about Pokemon Go, because I didn't have a fat clue what it was. I kept seeing all these people posting about Pokemon Go. Well, it's some new app that you can put on your phone where you walk around and you find Pokemon, like, in real life, and you capture them. And this is one of my friend's posts from Facebook. He posted up a picture. He's a grown man, 30-some years old, playing this Pokemon game, and he found something, I don't even know what that is, in his house. And you capture these things. And it is said by many who are specialists that this Pokemon Go, where it's actually getting people out of the house and walking and even running to capture these Pokemon, it is said that this is probably going to be the end of obesity in America because this game is so popular. Well, if it wasn't Pokemon Go that was all over my social media news feed, it was some events that happened that they rocked our nation. And it started earlier in the middle of this week when I woke up reading about Alton Sterling. And Alton Sterling, there was a video released, and we don't have the full story of this. We don't know what happened at the beginning. We don't know all the details, but the video shows Alton Sterling being held down by two police officers, and then it shows him being killed. And I don't know if you watched this video or not, but I didn't know how to respond to the video. And part of the reason why I didn't know how to respond to the video is because I'm white. So I sat there in silence saying, like, this doesn't feel right. There's something that just feels wrong. But I don't want to say the wrong thing because race is so elevated in our culture and it's so divisive. And so I just sat there quietly. And I literally didn't post hardly anything on social media because I felt like if I posted anything funny or anything that wasn't about this topic, it would just be wrong. But I didn't want to post about the topic because it was just kind of, it was awkward. I went to bed and the next morning I woke up and I couldn't believe that I was reading and then seeing another video. Philando Castile, There's a video, and again, it's not the full story. And I want you to know that what we're talking about is not the full story. None of the people involved on this are on trial here, and we're not here to prove one side or another. We're just left with a partial video of someone being killed. And I'm sitting there, and it's early in the morning, like it's like 5 a.m., and I'm reading about this, and I watch the video, and like I'm crying in my bed. And I went over to Twitter to just kind of check out what was happening on Twitter. And it was amazing that all of my white friends were talking about things like Hillary Clinton and the scandal with the email. And they were talking about sports and they were talking about other things. And yet my black friends were grieving because of this. And the thing that I kept hearing over and over again from my African-American friends is, why is the white community so quiet about this? Like, this is not just one time, it's twice in 24 hours this has happened and we're hurting. And our friends that are white are not saying anything. And I don't know if you felt like I did, but part of the reason why I was silenced because I didn't know what to say. Well, then 24 hours later, I go to bed, and when I wake up, I read about how 5 police officers were shot and 7 were wounded while they were at a peaceful protest in Dallas. And the 5 police officers that were shot, their names were Lauren Ahrens, Michael Smith, Michael Kroll, Patrick Zamaripa, and Brent Thompson. And one of the things that I read from some of my friends on social media that were dealing with this struggle is they said that we just need the names to be mentioned, whether it's on either side, whether it's the cops or it's the African Americans. We need the names to be mentioned out loud, because these aren't just faceless people that died a long time ago in history. These are real lives, real people who are hurting, and we need to talk about them. My friends in the African American community said, we need white people to talk about this, and I know it's awkward, and I know it's kind of tense, but we need you to bring in your voice into this conversation and to talk. And the truth of the matter is I feel ill-equipped to talk about this because of who I am. I didn't ask to be white, but I'm born a white dude. And my perspective is going to be a little bit different from the world that I lived in, and the world that I live in. What I can tell you, though, is that I have some African-American friends, some black friends, and being a part of their life through social media, I saw that their perspective this week was very different than a lot of my white friends. There's a friend of mine, his name is Jason. And Jason Covington is a guy who has actually led up here on this stage. He's played with us multiple times. Jason loves Batman and Superman like I do, and we both love Chipotle. And we'll go to lunch every couple months over the goodness of Chipotle. I saw, though, on Thursday, Jason Covington's post, and it was very different than anything that I could post or even anything I could relate to. This is what Jason posted pretty early on Thursday morning. He said, I can remember when I was going to get my first car back in the late 90s. My parents took me to see a sweet four-door 1997 Lexus. My mom was so excited to buy it, but my father said, Joe, we can't buy this for Jason. He works in downtown Newport News. We can't give the cops a reason to pull him over. He may not make it home. This was almost 20 years ago, and the same still holds true today. Now, the truth of the matter, whether you agree or not, this is a perspective that people are living with in our culture today. And this is a very different perspective than I have. And what you need to know is that perspective can't be right or wrong. It is not an absolute truth. It is just the world that we live in. And Jason's perspective is 100% different than mine. The very first time I got pulled over, I was 17 years old, and I had a car. It was a Sundance, and the car's electrical systems went wonky all the time. Half the car would work half the time. I would have half of my power locks and half of my speakers, and I would go over a speed bump, and the other half would come on, and then the other side would shut off. I took my car into the shop and got it fixed because the speedometer had just gone out, and it wasn't working on me, and you can't tell how fast you're going if you don't have a speedometer. I also ran out of gas about 4 times in this car because the gas gauge would just go out. I get my car back from the shop, and on Sunday after church, I'm driving down Big Bethel Road near Thomas Nelson, and my speedometer goes out again. I get pulled over by a cop, and I'm a nervous wreck. But let me tell you why I'm nervous. I'm nervous because I don't like to get in trouble. And I didn't know how I was going to tell my parents. I was 17. I'd never got a ticket before. And so my nerves are just going through, like just going crazy, and I... I don't even know what my license and registration like really looks like. Like I'm digging through the glove box and I'm like, I know I have to hand them something, but I don't know what I'm going to hand them. I pull out my license out of my wallet and my hands, I'm shaking because I'm so nervous. I drop my license in between my seats and I couldn't find it. So the police officer comes up to me and I hand him some papers. I said, I think this is my registration. He says, can I have your license? And I said, listen, I have it. I promise. But I was so nervous. I dropped it. It's in between my seats. And he said, that's okay. Do you know why I pulled you over? And I said, I really don't. My speedometer is broken. I just got it back from the shop. My speedometer went out on me. And he said, that's okay. And he went back to his car and he came back and he gave me 3 tickets. One for not having a license, one for having faulty equipment, and one for speeding. Now, here's my perspective. Here's my story. A few weeks later, I got to go to court. And I stood before a judge and I told him my perspective. And he looked at the cop and he said, are you kidding me? You gave this kid these tickets and he told you what was going on. All of these tickets are dismissed. Now, I want to tell you, I was nervous about getting a ticket, but I wasn't nervous about getting shot. And the perspective that we have in America, it's very different whether you're black or you're white. A friend of mine, Gina, if you come to Next Level regularly, you've probably seen or heard her sing. She was here last week, and she has an incredible voice. And Gina was very transparent on Facebook. Gina posted the following post on her Facebook page. She said, I really shouldn't be up here, but I need y'all to know that my heart is in shambles. I have a black son praying. Her perspective is that she has a fear for her son, and it is very different than the fear that my wife and I have for our son. I will never, to my knowledge, have a conversation with my son Hayden that says, listen, you need to be careful about where you go and what you do because you might get shot or in trouble simply because of the color of your skin. I don't have those conversations with my son. And if you're here today and you don't think that race is still an issue in America, if you think that we're past this and that this isn't even something we should be talking about, let me show you one of the top comments, one of the first comments on Gina's Facebook post where she was being very vulnerable with her Facebook friends. This is what someone said. This is a white guy. I don't know who this is. Maybe you know him. He says, well, let's just hope he doesn't perform criminal acts like these other guys. If you don't think that race is a problem, talk about race. And our friend Gina was sharing her perspective. And you can take that down. I don't want to see any more of that. She's sharing a part of her perspective. And someone that she's friends with on Facebook or someone that stumbled upon her post, instead of just saying, hey, I hear you, you're hurting, she says, well, I hope your son is not a criminal like these other guys, and then maybe he won't get shot. That is a perspective that is just different. On Friday, when I woke up and read about the police officers who were shot, I became immediately afraid because a friend of mine, Steve, he works the night shift, and he's an amazing police officer in our area. And it was like 4:35 a.m. when I woke up, and as soon as I read the article, I texted Steve. And I just wanted to check on him to see if he was okay because he works at Newport News in our area. And Steve has a different perspective. Let me show you what Steve texted me back. He says, thank you, it's a horrible night. One of my guys was just assaulted, and I got involved with the fight. One of my guys is injured, but we'll be okay. We're all on edge and struggling to stay afloat. Now, this is a perspective from a police officer. And let me just tell you, me personally, I can't relate to a black man's struggle in America, and I cannot relate to being a police officer because I'm not either one of those. What I can do is I can empathize with their situation. And the situation right now is that both sides are feeling some of the exact same struggles. They're both feeling targeted, and they're both feeling afraid, and they both don't have a lot of answers. But this is the world that we live in today. And so today we're kicking off a brand new series, and the series is entitled At the Movies. And I had a totally different movie picked out. I had a movie that is one of my favorite all-time movies. And if you hear chomping of popcorn, it's because we're in a series about movies. And that's not normal here, but for this series, we can eat popcorn during it. I had a different movie picked out, but on Thursday, I just couldn't shake these thoughts, these images, these things I was seeing on Facebook, and so I picked a new film. And let me just tell you that in today's talk, there's a few things we need to address. Number one, a 35-minute talk cannot stop or erase or fix the race problems in America. So this is not an end-all talk. This is not something that we're going to walk out of here and every problem in America is going to be fixed because of this talk. This is just the start of a conversation. So there's a lot of things that I'll leave out. There's a lot of things that will be limited from my perspective. But what you need to know is this is not the end all. This is just to get the ball rolling so that we can start talking about some things that are going on in America. Number two, what you need to know is that you may not agree with everything that's said today, and that's okay. You don't have to agree for us to still be friends. What you do have to do, though, is you have to listen. And what we need a lot more in America is we need a lot more of us to listen to both sides, to figure out what's going on, to learn from the perspectives of those that are different than us. The third thing that you need to know is that this is a very difficult subject to talk about. And I'm a pretty emotional guy anyway, so I might break down and cry, and I might lose it, and I just ask that you'll give me a virtual hug, and we'll just keep rolling. Today's movie came out in 2000, and the reason I picked this movie is because it's based off true stories, and not just a true story that happened somewhere in America, it's a true story that happened in Virginia, so it's really close to home. The movie cost $30 million, it stars Denzel Washington, and it went on to make $136 million, so it made a lot of profit. The film is one of my favorite movies, and it wasn't going to be included in this series at all until the events of this week, but I just thought that we needed a movie that would help us push along this discussion. Let me tell you why we do this movie series. We do a movie series because movies are the stories that show our culture, and they're the stories that we talk about. In Jesus' day, when he taught, it is said that every single time he taught the crowds, he taught them parables. And a parable is simply a story with a point. And oftentimes, Jesus would tell the crowd a story, and they would walk away, and they didn't have a fat clue what the story meant, but they were entertained. And so often, that's how movies are today. We go and we watch them, we're like, I don't know what I just saw, but some things blew up, so that was cool. But every movie is not beneficial for us, but every movie is a story. Every movie is a parable. And so today, our illustrations, our examples, are going to come from a film from 2000. And it's a film that deals with the racial struggle, and it specifically picked for today because it is a film that is based off a true story where they actually did something to help the race relations. So without further ado, I present to you the first film in our series, Remember the Titans.
In Virginia, high school football is a way of life. It's bigger than Christmas Day. My daddy coached in Alexandria. He worked so hard, my mama left him. But I stayed with Coach. He needed me on that field. Up until 1971 in Alexandria, there was no race mixing. Then the school board forced us to integrate. They combined the white school and the black school into one, called T.C. Williams High School. That summer, a black teenager was killed by a white store owner, and the city was on the verge of exploding.
You've caused enough damage. This is my store.
I didn't think that was so bad. That's good, Gary. I can see you've been working.
Hey, thanks a lot, Coach. Listen, with the schools integrating at all, some of the guys are worried about losing their starting positions.
Well, that's something that we're just going to have to figure out, but you don't worry about that now. You just keep at it, all right?
Yes, Coach.
Hey, guys! Doc! It's coming down to the store! They want to burn the place up because that color kid got shot.
Come on, let's go.
Hey!
You just get sheriff to the school now, bud.
truck. Gary, Alan, Ray, if you ever want to play for me again, get in the truck. Now.
Boys are going to cool off. Come with me to my office. Help me finish packing my things.
Gary, son, your heart's in the right place, but you ought to know better than to embarrass the coach like that.
Hell, why don't you just kick them all off the team? I don't want to play with any of those black animals.
What?
I see them.
Who are you?
I'm Herman Boone. I'm the new assistant coach.
Well, for the looks of things, I'd say we got about all the help we need around here. Why ain't you outside there with all your little friends hollering?
This was the time that was arranged for me to meet with Coach Yost. I never miss an appointment.
Well, maybe you just better reschedule.
Coach Boone's school board made the decision to put you on my staff. I did not hire you.
Well, I came up here to coach at GW. I didn't ask the schools to redistrict. I didn't ask to be assigned to your staff, so I guess we're both in a situation we don't want to be in. But I can guarantee you this, Coach. I come to win.
Win? Coach Yost here has been nominated to the Virginia High School Hall of Fame. 15 winning seasons.
Well, I won a couple of titles down in North Carolina.
That's double-A ball. This here's Virginia. We play triple-A.
Well, what an opportunity for me then to learn.
If you haven't seen the film, it is based off true events where no one chose to be in the situation that they were in, but the courts decided that schools needed to integrate, that it was not right to have just black schools and just white schools, and they forced a school to merge, a white school and a black school, to form one school. And this is a part that happened in Virginia. And Coach Boone was given the title of being an assistant coach, but then because of the race relations and the heated arguments and problems with it, they ended up making Coach Boone, they took him from the assistant to the head coach to try to ease over some of the tensions. And this is something that I think we can relate to, because not a ton has changed since 1971. We've progressed a lot, but the tensions are still really high. And we're still ready to fight on a moment's notice. And the problem is none of us asked to be in this situation. None of us asked to be placed in America in this day and age. None of us asked to be born black or white. None of us asked to be put in Virginia in this day and age. It's just the world that we live in. And Coach Boone didn't ask to be put in this situation, but quickly he was elevated to the head coach. And this is something that we need to wrestle with, because in America, we have a history of race that is not a pretty picture. And so often, for me and our white friends, we just want to kind of ignore the past and move on and just pretend it didn't happen. And we live our happy lives and just think that if we ignore it, then maybe it's not really that bad. But it's a history that we need to wrestle with. We didn't choose it. We weren't a part of it. It happened before a lot of us were even born. But it's a history that we need to wrestle with if we're going to understand the perspective of our black brothers and sisters. The perspective comes from so many things that have happened, including things that have happened in Virginia. Did you know that the very first slaves that were brought to America were brought to Fort Monroe, Virginia? The base that's right down the road from us. I didn't know that. Fort Monroe. Our area of Virginia has a lot of tensions when it comes to race. When the schools were forced to integrate, there's a school that is made historic because it's just a couple hours down the road in Farmville, Virginia, in Prince Edward County. They were so resistant to the idea of integrating schools that Prince Edward shut down public schools because they didn't want the races to mix. And for 5 years, there wasn't a public school in Prince Edward County, which is in Farmville, Virginia. It's just a few hours. Some of you went to Longwood University, which is just, it's just down the road from us. So there are some things that have happened in America that impact the various races, and it's something that we have to wrestle with. We didn't ask for it, but it's just the situation that we're in. And Coach Boone gets elevated to become the head coach, and he has to quickly figure out how he's going to solve this problem, and that sets up our very next scene for the day. Check it out.
All right, listen up. I want everybody off the bus. Let's go. Follow me. Everybody. Let's go right now. All right. Everybody off the bus. Listen up. I don't care if you're black, green, blue, white, or orange. I want all of my defensive players on this side. All players going out for offense over here. Right now. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. You and you. Offensive bus, sit together. You and you. defensive buffs sit together. Get comfortable, too. Because the person that I have you sitting next to is the same one that you'll be rooming with for the duration of this camp.
Cause, baby, there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough.
Lou, shut up. I don't want to see your smiling and shuffling, hear all your minstrel show singing on this bus.
You too.
Got that right.
You can shut up too.
So in this clip, Coach Boone is forced to take a group of African-American students and white students to camp. And he didn't tell them where to sit. And they, by their own nature, chose. There was a black bus and there was a white bus. And when he sees this as a major problem. And this is a major problem that's happening today in our culture. As long as we're in our own separate groups and we're looking across and seeing others in their groups, we have a us versus them mindset. And the us versus them mindset looks at, well, this is my perspective and their perspective is wrong. And the one thing that Coach Boone did quickly is he said, we got to get rid of this us versus them. We got to build one team. And so he told them, get off the bus, everyone. And he put them together, offense and defense. And now all of a sudden you have black players sitting next to white players. And guess what? That's a little awkward because their music choice is different and their background is different and their preferences are different. But he was trying to help them see that they had something in common. Well, they get to camp, and pretty quickly a fight breaks out because of their differences. And Coach Boone then addresses them, and that sets up our next clip. Check it out.
Bunch of tough guys. You look like a bunch of fifth grade sissies after a cat fight. You got anger, that's good. You're gonna need it, son. You got aggression, that's even better. You're gonna need that too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. Some coaches may cut a player if they think he's not up to snuff, when they think he's hurting the team. This is a public school program. I will never, ever cut a player who comes out to play for me. But when you put that uniform on, that Titan uniform, you better come to work. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game. You drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. You fumble the football, and I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts. And then you will run a mile. Perfection. Let's go to work.
So one of the ways that Coach Boone addresses the issues is he tells them, listen, you guys are fighting, you got a lot of tension, but any two-year-old can throw a hissy fit. Any two-year-old can fight. Any two-year-old can yell and scream. And that's what's going along a lot in our country today. That we've got people yelling and screaming and acting like a bunch of two-year-olds, but there's not a lot of people who are saying, hey, what can we do? How can we solve this problem? And in Coach Boone's case, he said, we've got to stop looking at each other as black or white, and we've got to wear this jersey. We got to be about the Titans. We got to be about something that can unify all of us. And he started trying to unify the team, but it just wasn't working. And it's not working in America as much as some brave individuals are doing. It's not solving the problem. And I don't think the problem's going to solve until white Americans and black Americans both choose to stop fighting and to start having some meals together. I don't know a lot about you, but I can guarantee you that you celebrate things in America around food. Let me just ask you a question. When was the last time you shared a meal with a race that was different than yours? Being around food where you can hang out and learn about people, your guard comes down. And we need a lot less debates and a lot less Facebook posts, and we need some more meals, intentional meals, where you call someone who's a different race and you just say, hey, will you come hang out? Let's just eat together. Let's just hang out. Let's get to know one another. And in order to do that, it's going to take some courage. And that sets up our next clip in the film. Check this out.
What you doing, man?
Eating lunch.
I see you eating lunch. Why you eating over here? Why don't you going over there eat with your people?
Man, I don't have any people. I'm with everybody, Julius.
Yeah, he's just a light-skinned brother.
Yeah, and I'm a dark-skinned cracker.
Come on, Julius. He's just another blessed child in God's loving family.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Blue. Mm-hmm. Let me...
Mm-hmm. Lord, we come before you today and ask you to soften Big Julius Campbell's heart.
Look at that traitor. And Rev, you better be praying I block for his black behind.
Yeah, but Ray, if you don't block, you're not going to start.
I'll start. I'll just buy my time.
Some of the brave players started eating together, and it started mixing, and they started to get to know each other, but it wasn't enough. And Coach Boone saw that his players weren't coming together. In order for them to win, they had to just do more than coexist. They had to do more than just pretend that they were getting along. They had to actually get to know one another. And what he does next is something that I think is so important for us today. I want you to pay careful attention. Don't just zone out and just pretend this is a movie. This is a cultural dialogue that we need to listen to. What Coach Boone does next is so important for us. Check this out.
Lasting. I want you to tell me something about one of your black teammates.
Sure, yes, sir. I'm rooming with Blue, sir, and I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
Okay, maybe somebody who's not your roommate.
Sir, I eat lunch with Rev. That's Jerry Harris, sir. People call him Rev because he's always praying and he won't abide a foul tongue, sir.
And what is the Rev going to do after high school?
I don't know. Go to college and all that, I guess.
What about you? You going to go to college?
Oh, not me, Coach. I ain't a brainiac like Rev.
Think you got a future in football?
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
All right, I like that. A self-aware man, I like that. But if you don't go to college, it's not going to be because you're not qualified. So I want you to bring me your test scores at the end of every week. We'll go over them together, okay? Okay. We'll keep that between you and me.
Okay.
So what kind of music does the Rev like?
Oh, me and Rev both dig on the Temptations.
Oh, yeah?
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I got to pray, please, for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that much to me. Ain't you proud to beg?
Okay, all right. Stop begging. Anybody else? No volunteers? Campbell? Bertier? No, huh? Each one of you will spend time every day with a teammate of a different race. You will learn about him and his family, his likes, his dislikes. You'll report back to me until you meet every one of your teammates. Until that time, we go to 3-a-day practices. You continue to ignore each other, we'll go to 4-a-day practices. Now, is there any part of this that you don't understand?
The part that is so important for us is that Coach Boone knows that as long as the other side remains nameless, and as long as the other side remains just some face and we don't know actual details and don't know what they care about, as long as it's us versus them, there's going to be a problem. But if we can get past that, if we can actually sit down and say, hey, what music do you like? What things are you afraid of? What are your preferences? What are the things that we have in common? We may have a lot of differences, but what are the things that we can agree on? Until that happens, there's going to be this us versus them mindset, and no matter what side of this you fight on, no matter what side you find yourself on, there's going to be some differences. But if we can just say, hey, let's have some meals together, and let's find out some information, what we're going to find out is that we have a lot more in common with each other than what we think. And Coach Boone forces his players to come together by learning about one another. And I want to show you this one final scene because I think there's a line in it that is so important for us today. Check this out.
All right, man, listen. I'm Gary. You're Julius. Let's get some particulars and just get this over with, all right?
Particulars?
Yeah.
No matter what I tell you, you ain't gonna never know nothing about
me. Hey, listen. I ain't running any more of these 3 days, okay?
Well, what I got to say, you really don't want to hear, because honesty ain't too high up on your people priority list, right?
Honesty? You want honesty? All right, honestly, I think you're nothing. Nothing but a pure waste of God-given talent. You don't listen to nobody, man. Not even Doc or Boone. Shiver push on the line every time, man. You blow right past them. Push them. Pull them. Do something. You can't run over everybody in this league. And every time you do, you leave one of your teammates hanging out to dry. Me in particular.
Why should I give a hoot about you? Huh? Or anybody else out there? You want to talk about a waste? You're the captain, right?
Right.
Captain's supposed to be the leader, right?
Right.
You got a job?
I have a
job. You been doing your job?
I've been doing my job.
Then why don't you tell your white buddies to block for Rev better? Because they have not blocked for him worth a plug nickel, and you know it. Nobody plays, yourself included. I'm supposed to wear myself out for the team? What team? No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look out for myself, and I'm going to get mine.
See, man, that's the worst attitude I ever heard.
Attitude reflect leadership, Captain.
They're forced to get to know each other, and in their conversation, there's some things that are said that I think are very important for us. Number one, it is perceived by the black community that the white community doesn't want to listen. And honesty is not too high on our priority. And so let's offer that back to them. You want us to listen? We're going to listen. We want to hear what you have to say. Even if we disagree, even if we have a different perspective, we just want to listen. We want to hear what's going on in your world. The last line, though, of that was so important because Julius says attitude reflects leadership. And if you really want to make a change in America, you got to see yourself as a leader. And you got to stop pointing the finger at the president and pointing the finger at Obama, who is the president, and pointing the finger at politics and pointing the finger at other people. You got to stop with this pointing fingers and saying everyone else is the problem. And you got to see that you are a leader and you are leading someone. And the way that you talk about race to your family makes a difference. And the way that you talk about race to your friends, it makes a difference. And people are watching. People listen to the way that you talk. A few years ago, me and one of my best friends, we would joke, and when we would make a joke, we would often, this is like late 90s, early 2000s, we would say something that was very common for a lot of people to say, that when you didn't like something, you would say, oh, that's gay. And at the time, no one corrected us on this. No one said that was questionable. It was just like, that's what everyone said. It was like saying stupid or saying anything. We would just say, that's gay. Well, years of saying this and just being a part of my vocabulary, I didn't think anything of it until a handful of years ago. I was hanging out with my friends Dan and Danielle, and after me and Dan were kind of going back and forth and using that word, Danielle says to me, if you really want to reach the gay community, it's probably not appropriate that you say that word all the time. And I was convicted because I wouldn't think anything of it. I wasn't intentionally trying to offend anyone. I was just doing what our culture does. The truth of the matter, though, is that attitude reflects leadership. And if you want to see a change, if you want to reach someone, if you want to make a difference, you do got to check yourself and how you speak and how you talk, because people that you don't even know are watching. Now, why is this so important for us today? Well, if you're a Christian, this is incredibly important because of something the Apostle Paul said. He is the author of over half of the New Testament, and he wrote to some Christians in Galatia. He wrote the following: so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. Well, what is Paul saying to us? What was he saying to that group? Well, back then, it wasn't a black or white problem, it was a Jew or Gentile problem. And the problem was that Jews viewed that they could not even eat or associate with Gentiles, that Gentiles were dirty, they couldn't be in the same house. And now because of Jesus, Jesus says, listen, they're not dirty. We're all in the same playing field. Jesus didn't come to die just for Jews. He didn't come to die just for Gentiles. He didn't come to die for blacks or just whites. He came to die for all people. Red or yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. And because of that, we now are on the same team. And Paul says something that's incredibly important to us. He says, if you're in Christ, that is, if you are a Christian, if you would say, I'm trying to follow Jesus, he says to clothe yourselves with Christ. This is the same thinking that Coach Boone did in Remember the Titans. He said, clothe yourself. Put on this Titan jersey. You got some differences? Well, look at the jersey. Put something else on. Find something in common. And if you're a Christian today, you may have a lot of differences, but you are supposed to be clothed in Jesus. The jersey that you wear says that there is no partiality, there is no differences. We may have our preferences, we may have different skin color, we may have different things that we like or dislike, but in Jesus, we're all in the same family. So I want to just give us some practical things that I think we can pull from this film and some practical things that I think we can do. If you're here today, whether you're white, black, I think these are some things that we need to start doing. And this isn't the end to all of our problems. It's just the start. I know a lot of us are afraid. A lot of us are scared. And a lot of us have a lot of questions. But I think this is some things we just need to start doing to make an actual difference in the world. If you want to make a difference in regards to race, number one, reject generalizations. Reject generalizations. Stop saying things like those people there. And all those people do this, and that's just how they are. You've got to stop with the generalizations, because the truth is they're not true. And it's not all black people do this, or all white people do this. All black men are not thugs, and all white men are not racists. All Muslims are not terrorists. So the generalization is causing us to have a divide in our country. And there are some major issues, but we got to stop saying them versus us. We've got to quit with the generalizations. Just stop it. Number two, associate intentionally with another race. Associate intentionally with another race. If you want to make a difference, associate. Have a meal. Invite someone to lunch. Become friends with someone that's different than you. Have them over to dinner. If you have kids, have them play with another race's kids. Number three, counter us versus them thinking. Counter us versus them thinking. What is the us versus them thinking? Well, the us versus them thinking is saying, well, us as white people versus them as black people, or us as black people versus them as white people, or us as black men versus them cops over there. And we got to stop this us versus them. We are all Americans, and we've got to make this country better. And how do we do that? Well, if you're a Christian, you need to be standing on the front lines of race reconciliation, because in Jesus, we're all on the same team. And we've got to stop it. When you see someone start saying us versus them, well, they just always do that. You've got to put an end to it. Stop it. That's not fair. It's not us versus them. It's us together. And if some people have a race problem, we all have a race problem in our country. Number four, eavesdrop what those who are different than you are saying. Eavesdrop on what those that are different than you are saying. You know what I love about social media? You get to eavesdrop on people without even asking permission. And just spend some time looking at what different races are saying. Look at what your police friends are saying right now. They're scared. And think about how you can help those that are police who are putting their lives on the line for us. Think about an eavesdrop on those that are scared because their skin might cause them to get shot. At least that's their fear. Eavesdrop on what they're saying. Listen to them. And then do something about it. Number five, stop using one problem to elevate your cause. Now, this is an acrostic. It spells out race, just in case you're not keeping along. Number five, though, is stop using one problem to elevate your cause. You know, one of the things that frustrated me the most about this is when people started writing blog posts and putting articles out, I would see the headline that would look like something was going to give practical solutions. And so many of the blog posts and articles, instead of giving practical solutions, they would start off talking about the problem, and then they would start finger-pointing at someone else. And I would read, those from the left would say they would start off with the problem, and then they would start talking about how we need more gun control laws. And I'm like, well, how did we get here? And I would see those on the right, they would start saying, this is what's wrong with our administration today. And they would start talking about our president. I'm like, well, how do we get there? If there's a problem, let's deal with the problem. Let's stop making this about other things. And if you have an agenda, it's not your time to make your agenda sail just because there's another problem in America. And we need to have some honest conversations and stop using one problem to elevate and bring in our possible solutions to another problem. We got to stop it. We got to stop using problems. Stop using propaganda. Don't even read, and especially don't share things that start off talking about a problem and then start bashing on another group or another person or try to elevate their own cause. Don't share them. Don't like them. Don't include them. Delete them. Get rid of them. Propaganda is not helping us. What propaganda is doing right now is it is pitting us versus them. And we got to stop it. The media is not going to help us. Politicians are not going to help us. It's only when good people in America, and especially Christians, stand up and start doing something against these race issues. So stop using one problem to elevate another one. One of the articles I read that was incredibly helpful was from a letter that Martin Luther King Jr. wrote in prison. One of the things that broke his heart the most was that the white community was silent during the oppression of the civil rights movement. And I want to leave us with this quote because I think you're good people. The fact that you would go to church on a Sunday when you could be doing so much other, it means you're a good person. This quote is so important for those of us that are good people. Martin Luther King said this, "The ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people." If you're a good person today, it is up to you to make America better. So do something. If you don't like my five suggestions, come up with your own. But do something. Pray for someone that's different than you. Become friends with someone that has a different perspective. Show the world that in Jesus we're all wearing the same uniform. Let's do a lot less fighting and a lot more bringing people together. I want to pray for us. God, thank you so much for your love for us, and thank you for your grace. And God, this is just a touchy subject, and it has so many complications and issues. And God, we just ask that you would just help us to be people of reconciliation. We ask that you would give us some answers, God. We ask that you would help us in our hurt. We just ask that you would just do something, that you would start here. That so much of the race tensions and problems has happened in Virginia. And God, would you just start some reconciliation in this area? Would you help us to actually do the hard work to make a difference? God, help us to do more listening than we do talking. God, we just ask that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine as you cover us with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.